But if you can, you know, even at 6% on a $1,000 sale, you know, you're making $60. But
right.
those are the guys I've seen have a lot of success with less traffic. So I would look at it as it's a nice way to kind of get your feet wet, but it's not going to, you know, it's not to me a true business. You know, Pat Flynn, I think, he interviewed a guy a couple of years ago that made over $100,000 a year with Amazon affiliates. But I would say that, you know, very few people I know make quite a bit. Well, I know Brett at the Art of Manliness, but he gets, you know, 400,000 people a day. So he makes, you know, can make quite a bit with just putting a few links in there, honest. Also, the 24-hour cookie is relatively weak. Usually, you have a lot of companies which will have a 30-day to a one-year cookie.
So and you get pushed off of that?
Yeah. And so it's tough. But and I'm gonna send a, let me see. Nathan just
I see Nathan in the house. So,
yep.
Hi, guys.
What's up, Nathan?
All right. Hey, Nathan. Thanks for coming on, man. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, it's good to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. It's been a long time since we've talked. The last time I saw you, you were
in Vegas, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, you were up. We were up at the Rio at the top, and you gave me – I think you gave me – you tracked me down and gave me a book. And I remember you had square shoulders, and I was like – I think we talked about suits and how hard they were to fit for you. And that's why I was like, you know, it's those little things. I'm like, yeah, I didn't know who you were. And you actually were promoting ConvertKit there, I think, at the time, right? You were co-hosting that with Stripe or?
No, I was there on behalf of Gumroad helping.
Gumroad, okay.
Gumroad was running that event. And I just showed up to help them get people there. So
very cool. Well, it's good to have you here. We've got a great group, and I'm not going to hog, you know, we'll make a quick intro for a few of the guys that you can see. We probably have too many to do that, but I know Dave Chesson here, he definitely was interested in having some questions for you. Zach Bob's probably got some great questions. Tom's got some questions. And we've also got, looks like, probably another half dozen veterans out there. Everyone group has served either in the Air Force, Marines, Navy, Coast Guard. What's that other branch? That other land branch? I forget. You know, the one. The Army.
Amy. Army.
So we have a lot of fun with our with our Army brothers. But no, we got a good group here, and I'll let Tom. I'm going to step out, and I'll just be answering questions in the back, and the guy behind the scenes.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So guys, yeah, I guess we'll, like Antonio said, if you guys have questions, just type them in the chat or the question box and we'll facilitate. And if somebody else wants to jump in here, I think we can get like six faces on here. So please do. But guys, just a quick intro to Nathan Berry, if you don't know him. Nathan is a really brilliant designer and author, and he's written some really great books on both design and marketing and kind of book marketing. So if you go to his website, nathanberry.com, you can see a lot of his writing. So I would encourage you to sign up for his list and check out what he's doing. And I would also check out ConvertKit, which we've talked about before. It's an email marketing service that is kind of like, I look at it as like, I had MailChimp and I hated MailChimp. So it's a lot better than MailChimp, but it's a lot less expensive than Infusionsoft. So you get a lot of the power of Infusionsoft with a very easy to use interface, and it's changed the game for me for email marketing. So we'll talk about that today, why, but that's kind of my brief intro. Nathan, I really appreciate you being here, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Totally. So yeah, please take it away and fill in the blanks.
No, that's pretty much it. I think just give a little bit of background. I built an audience to about 35,000 subscribers. Mostly talk about software design and marketing. And then I started ConvertKit 3 years ago, mainly because I also used MailChimp and did not like it. And then the last year or so has been pretty crazy for ConvertKit. So, you know, we went from being one of the smallest players that no one had ever heard of to now we have a bunch of the largest blogs on the internet. So we've got people like Pat Flynn and Leo Bauta and massive sites you probably haven't heard bigger than those people, like wellnessmama.com and they're just a ton of people, random people that like Tom Works, you know, Great crew. And then, you know, an even bigger crew like John Lee Dumas and Michael Hyatt and lots of others, Brian Harris, who all promote ConvertKit now. So it's kind of turned into this this crazy thing. I guess other background in ConvertKit, we have, well, I should look this up, almost 1,500 customers now. We're 11, oh, we have 1,430 customers.
Wow.
11 employees. We tend to add about 2 employees a month now, and so it's growing pretty quickly. And our goal is just to, you know, I guess our overall goal is, I learned 3 or 4 years ago that it's possible to make 6 figures a year writing about your favorite topics on the internet, and I think that's the coolest thing ever. And so my goal is to just get that message in front of more people, and you know, build the tools to help them do that. So
awesome. And you keep everything transparent, don't you, on that one dashboard?
I do. So if you want to know anything about ConvertKit's numbers, here, I'll even drop in the link.
Cool.
I found
those very interesting.
Yeah. So I'm really big into transparency because I, you know, there was a few people early on in my blogging career who were public with their numbers, 2 random designers in particular. I really resonated with that. So ever since then, I've made all of my numbers public. So yeah, you can see everything about ConvertKit. You can even see that, like, yeah, it's all there. And actually, the numbers refresh every day at 5 p.m. my time, which is right now. And so I'm just looking at the new numbers for today. Like, we added $900 in monthly recurring revenue today.
So nice.
It's pretty ridiculous.
That's awesome. So we're starting to get questions in here, guys. Go ahead and type in anything you want. If you're on the video chat, you can just interject or raise a hand or whatever, or type it in, whatever you guys want. Otherwise, I'll probably facilitate a lot of these questions. But a couple of people asked right away. Actually, Zach Bob just asked, did you bootstrap ConvertKit?
Yeah, so I've invested about $55,000 into ConvertKit so far, but otherwise it's entirely, and that was from my personal money, and then everything else is just, you know, funded by, and we plan to keep it that way. So
that's awesome. Okay, so now I think and again, any questions, guys, about ConvertKit, please, you know, put them out here, and especially if you want to get, like, if you want to get tactical or practical with this stuff. But otherwise, I want to talk, maybe take a step into the reason for creating ConvertKit, which comes back to the email marketing aspect of things. So tell me a little bit about, like, what, and I've gone through your training course, I think they're awesome, but maybe just give us a recap of, like, what makes effective email marketing, kind of generally, and then maybe we can go more specific from there.
Yeah, so at a high level, maybe not necessarily what makes effective email marketing, but what makes effective marketing is education. And so we actually have these t-shirts for ConvertKit that just say, teach everything you know. And that's the idea behind that is, you know, if you teach, people will pay attention. And then you start to build an audience. And then when you say, oh, I also make this thing, or this thing will make your life easier, then lots of people sign up. And that, you know, that becomes really powerful. Email just happens to be the best channel for doing that, you know, for reaching people, and it, you know, it gets the highest engagement rates, it gets the highest conversion rates. Friends over at Gumroad gave me a bunch of stats for their entire platform, and, you know, comparing conversion rates, you know, for their massive e-commerce platform between Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, email, and a few others. And email converts, you know, at almost double, like, the next best social competitor. And so there's a few other things of, like, you know, with the email, if you decide that email provider, you can export your list and import it somewhere else. Like, that's something that you own that relationship. Whereas, like, if Facebook decides today that, you know, they're going to make it even more difficult to reach your Facebook fans, then you have no control of that. So, did that answer your question, or did you want like more tactics, or what are you thinking?
No, I think that's good to start, because we're starting to get questions in here that are more tactical kind of. So one of the questions was if we can get a ConvertKit walkthrough. I think maybe we can probably dive into that. I wonder if we should wait a little bit before we dive into actually using it. Does anybody have any questions about just email marketing in general or specifically? Like, I'm sure we can dive into ConvertKit and how to use it, but I'd probably like to save that till the end, or even I can do a walkthrough with you guys to do that. But I'd like to leverage this time for Nathan's brain as much as possible with email marketing.
Hey, Nathan, this is Antonio here. Can you talk – I mean, I remember – meeting you, you came off as a very smart, intelligent guy. You'd already had a few wins under your belt. Was ConvertKit, was that just a smooth process because you made it look easy, or is this an overnight success that took 3 years for that one overnight appearance?
This is an overnight success that's taken 3 years. Actually, there's another graph that I should dig up. You can go play with the ConvertKit dashboard on Baremetrics. You can look at, you can go back, you know, three years just about, and it was the opposite of an overnight success. Actually, a year ago, someone told me, someone well respected in the software industry said, hey, I think it's time that you shut down ConvertKit and admit that it's a failure. And he went on to say, like, or give it, you know, the time and attention it deserves and, like, build this into a full-time thing. And so that's when I was doing ConvertKit part-time, which is a little over a year ago. And so basically, I know you guys are all interested in business, so I'll throw out all the actual numbers. In the, let's see, so October 2014, we were doing $1,300 a month in revenue. Today we're doing almost $78,000 a month in revenue. So, like, it took 2 years of basically, you know, not much of anything, and then it, you know, has started to take off. But, you know, a lot of that growth has come in the last 3 months or so in particular.
What were some of the things that you actually did to – I mean, I know a lot of it's progressive, but obviously there's something maybe that was, like, more of a trip – that kind of unleashed the floodgates here.
Yeah, so we did the first thing is that we focused on a niche. And so, and I say we at the time, it really was just me back then. And so focusing on a niche, first we chose email marketing for authors. And when I had the term author in mind, I was thinking, you know, author, course creator. People like, you know, what I was doing, selling books and courses through my blog, the type of thing that Tom's doing. And so focusing on email marketing for authors did two things. It made it easier for people to promote us. All of a sudden, they could, you know, they're like, yeah, ConvertKit's good at, I don't know, it's kind of good at most of that, you know. It was totally generic. But once we did email marketing for authors, then those people who served authors were said, oh, this is a perfect fit, you know, let's roll it in. And so there's a bunch of people like Tim Grawl and some other people in the author community who started promoting us pretty heavily at that point. And that was great. Except that it attracted the wrong kind of person. So it was very effective, and then we learned that authors were not a good target for us because the people who most often identify with the term author are they're thinking along the lines of, my goal in life is to self-publish a fiction book and sell it for 99 cents on the Kindle store. And that was totally different than the people that I had in mind, which was, hey, we're teaching really valuable skills, and we're going to make six figures a year, you know, off of books and courses, selling that to our audience. And so we ended up pivoting that. You know, we tried, like, email marketing for course creators, and then eventually settled on email marketing for professional bloggers. So picking a niche helped a lot, and then just direct sales. Like, so many people are out there saying, you know, I want to sell to the internet as a whole, you know. And you think of it in terms of numbers. You're going to get 10,000 visitors, and you're going to convert, you know, 4% of those. So you're going to have, I don't know, 400 email subscribers, and then our conversion rate on that list when we launch the product is going to be the X. What we did is took the opposite approach and just, well, and I should say, when it finally started working, I did the generic, you know, just numbers approach for a long time. But I just started picking people and say, hey, I think you'd be a good fit for using ConvertKit. And I sent a lot of emails. And luckily, you know, I had some friends in the space, so it wasn't like totally cold emails all the time. But I've sent probably 1,000 cold emails in the last year. So it was a lot of direct sales, a lot of direct outreach. And then what happened is those, you know, as we'd get someone on, it would leverage into getting, you know, their friends and that sort of thing. So, Tom, how many – it'd be interesting to look up how many emails I sent you before you signed up.
I guess I could dig into my – I'll dig into that actually on the back end here.
At some point, it'd be interesting to know because, yeah, like – I think we had probably a few conversations about it, and then maybe yeah. like a month or two later, you came back on your own and signed up.
Yep.
Hey, Nathan. Dave Chesson here. Wondering if I could just ask a quick question.
Yeah.
So you were talking about you had a target market, and you kind of realized later on that it wasn't exactly the right fit. So who would be the ConvertKit avatar of today?
Yeah. So our – well – so now we're focusing very specifically professional bloggers or those who want to become professional bloggers. So like this week we've had an interesting thing with like a bunch of pure internet marketers in like the sleazy sense of the word or term sign up. And so like those we've asked them to leave because they don't fit with that. But people like Pat Flynn or like Leo Babauta from Zen Habits, you know, those people who are putting out really great content and then selling digital products to those. And, you know, at the level, like we generally don't go after absolute beginners because if they're sensitive, we're not really interested. You know, we don't have a free plan to start. I like to staff our support team with people who get online marketing and blogging and all of that, and they obviously cost more than, you know, whoever you could hire for really cheap to run support. So ideal customer, I would say someone who has at least 10,000 subscribers, though that's by no means a requirement, and then, you know, makes their living selling books and courses to that audience. Or other, you know, products of other kinds. But books and courses are great because they're downloadable and you can actually track the sales, you know, if you're selling through Gumroad or Sendowl or Samcart or one of these providers.
Nathan, this is Antonio in the back. I've got a this question comes from Jack Bourne. He says hi from Deadline Funnels, and
you were emailing the other day.
Yeah, I was just in a mastermind with him, and he said that I mentioned you were going to be on this, and he noticed that your month over month it went from 20% to 30% to 60% just a few months ago. What happened that you had that just huge jump this summer?
Yeah, so a couple things. So we ended the month of June at $10,000 in monthly recurring revenue. And something I should point out, this because all of our revenue comes from small accounts and it's consistent every month, these are numbers where if we stop promotion, we would make the same amount next month. So it's not like we start from zero at the beginning of the month like with one-time sales. So in June, we did $10,000 a month. In July, we didn't land that many like small accounts, but we landed three large accounts. So one of the largest on the web, one of the largest health and wellness blogs, actually, which is wellnessmama.com, and then also Pat Flynn. And they all happened to sign up on the exact same day. And so if you go look back in Baremetrics, you can find that day that they all signed up. And so that was just a result of direct sales, and finally we were winning bigger accounts. So we closed out July at $15,000 a month, then added $3,000 in August. And then in September, like Pat Flynn started to promote us some, but he wasn't super public about it. But we were at the point where we were able to tell other people that Pat was using us. So that helped with some of the credibility. You know, there was a time when people with really large lists would say, like, yeah, I don't know if you can handle my list of 20,000 people. And so now we're able to say, like, actually, our big accounts have 350,000 subscribers, so I think we'll be okay. So it gave us more confidence. And then things really started to kick off in October when we did web with, well, so Pat Flynn published a video review, a blog post titled "Why I Switched from AWeber to AWeber to Infusionsoft to ConvertKit," which obviously was compelling. And then we did webinars with three other people. Someone named Mariah Cause, who she has, you know, a very dedicated fan base of mostly women entrepreneurs. John Lee Dumas, we did a webinar with him, and then a couple other. We just continued all of that momentum rolling into November and December. So I don't know that fully answered the question, but basically it's culmination of everything we've been putting together for basically a full year.
No, that was solid. And I just saw an email from Video Fruit, and he talked about how he's catching you on Facebook ads. So it looks like, and you're actually promoting, I think, Pat's testimonial. I mean, so it sounds like you're hitting it, Nathan, in various angles. Is there one channel that's been, like, effective for you? It's like if this would be the one you would have to choose, you would go for it, or one or two.
Yeah, so the one that has gotten us to this point is direct sales, just reaching out, emailing people directly. And so we do it in a few different ways. One is we scan the web for what tools people are using. So we use something like BuiltWith or nerdydata.com to return, you know, an Excel file of all the sites that are AWeber installed, for example, or Infusionsoft. And then we'll sort those by Alexa ranking so we can, you know, at least have some idea of the size of the site, because generally there's a correlation between traffic and list size. If you have no traffic, it's hard to build a list. And then from there, you know, it's finding email addresses, writing those emails. Because we have an advantage that in the blogging community, once people switch, they tend to tell other people. Like once Pat switched, he told no one, but people just started noticing that his click tracking was going through ConvertKit, and they were like, what's this ConvertKit thing? You know. And then once he did start announcing it, like the advantage is, you know, he was telling over 100,000 people, like, oh, by the way, I switched this other tool. So for us, when we use direct sales to close one medium-sized to large account, there's a lot of network effects that come with that. There's a lot of copycat. You know, people are like, oh, well, if he switched, then I will as well. So that's pretty effective. So direct sales is the one that I would always choose. And even, you know, everyone talks about content marketing and how amazing that is. Content marketing did not work for us early on. Like when we were just, that was my entire background. So I was like, oh, I'm going to write tons of blog posts. I'm going to get this message out there. And the thing is, our product, you know, it wasn't very polished at the time, and we didn't have like what you'd call in the software space product market fit. So we didn't know who exactly it was for. We didn't know how to describe it. Things like what Tom said at the beginning of the power of Infusionsoft, but easier to use than MailChimp. That, I mean, it's a really simple phrase, but it took us a very long time to come to that phrase. It was actually a customer saying that about us. And so that's, you know, that positions our product. So even when we started hitting some growth and getting to about $25,000 a month in revenue, you know, people were saying like, okay, now it's time to do content marketing. And I forced myself to not do it until we hit $50,000 a month. And the reason is, there's always more opportunities out there. Like you can keep jumping around to this or that, and there's, you know, there's the Facebook ads, and there's so much stuff that we could be doing. And what I was scared of doing is having something that worked so well, which is direct sales, and then once you get that to work, then jumping off and doing content marketing and Facebook ads and all these other things, and only realizing, you know, maybe 10, 20% of the potential from direct sales because we jumped off to other things too quickly. So I will tend to set like artificial thresholds of, you know, $50,000 a month in revenue or whatever, and say like I'm not allowed to revisit that decision until we hit that success point. So for example, we had a lot of conversations about raising money. You know, people have wanted something like that, and I kept going back and forth on it. You know, we had some really great people who wanted to invest, And so just a month ago, or actually even just 2 or 3 weeks ago, I decided that we weren't going to entertain raising money again until we hit $200,000 in monthly recurring revenue. And so like I like to put off decisions like that. But now that we have like the direct sales model dialed in and we're continuing to, I guess, pour more gas on that, then I feel good about, you know, like we just did to start doing content marketing and doing the Facebook ads and stuff like that.
Thank you. That was a great answer. You know, Tom, I've seen Dave asking quite a few questions. Yep. Dave, would you like to ask those questions out loud? Oh, can we hear him? Maybe he's muted.
Dave Berlin?
Yeah. So you said whenever originally you were looking at authors, now you're going more for bloggers. I do have I'm just starting out, I have a list of about 1,000 people. It's a very targeted list. Is ConvertKit, and I'm not very technological savvy. We went for Infusionsoft on a company that I work with, and that was not going to work for us. But ConvertKit, I watched Tom's videos. It seemed like they're going to be a lot easier, you know, for somebody that's not real great at software and things like that. Is it still going to work for what I'm trying to do? I'm looking at rolling out an online course in January. So from having no list or, you know, no real concept of email marketing, is that still going to work? It seems like it's going to be a lot more affordable than Infusionsoft.
I think it'll work really well. And I should say that we tend to focus on the higher end of the market, and the reason for that is because the beginners or intermediate people tend to fall in place behind whatever the market leaders are using. And so by focusing in one place, we get the entire range. So we have about 700 customers that have fewer than 1,000 email subscribers. So it works really well at that. And for, you know, the core, like if you're selling a book or a course, really what you want to be able to do is you want to have an automated sequence when people first sign up that, you know, introduces them to your best content and then, hey, I have this course, you should go check it out. You know, if this has been useful, go buy the course. And then the other most important part, because you can do the first part in pretty much any tool, but the more important part is that once someone buys that, so whether they're buying through Gumroad or Teachable or Shopify or WooCommerce or whatever you're using, they need to be tagged as having purchased so that they stop getting that pitch sequence. And I see this mistake all the time where people are like, or they'll even write their emails like, hey, if you've already bought your course, ignore this, but... And it's like, dude, you should know whether they bought your course or not. Like, you know, and then they know that, then you can have a sequence that's pitching them to buy, and then as soon as they do buy, they're not getting that anymore, and they start getting another sequence that's, hey, here's how to get the most out of the course or the book that you just purchased. One thing that really irritates me, and I had no idea that this was a factor until I started selling books and courses, is that tons of people will buy your material and then never use it. Like, it's so frustrating because, I don't know, I put a lot of work into that material and it really helps people. And so you'll get to the point where you'll have a launch, it'll do really well, and you'll be quite happy about that. But then later on, you're like, but I want people to actually put the material to use and see the benefits from it. And so that's where like a follow-up sequence after they buy can remind them to like, hey, check out this, you know, what's in this module, and really encourage them to actually do it.
I saw Brennan Dunn do that, maybe on your advice, for his double your freelancing rate. So after you buy, he has a course that follows up, and it's like, now we're on chapter one, or now we're on chapter two. Kind of an interesting way to take a book and actually create something additional on top of it on the back end, which I thought was brilliant. It kept me accountable to like reading. And like, and yeah, he actually has a form in there where you can answer questions. So a very easy thing to do to create a lot more value for any type of product, I think.
Yeah, if you guys aren't already following Brennan, you can learn a ton of stuff from him. And then he has some really powerful like automations behind the scenes and stuff like that. In his autoresponder, actually one of my favorite things that he does is, so if anyone doesn't know his stuff, it's at wyourfreelancing.com. But if you sign up for his list, it'll have, you know, an email sequence about like how to improve your freelancing business. But in the first or second email, there's just like a free form question in there. It says, hey, what's your biggest frustration, you know, with your freelancing business right now? And, you know, just hit reply and let me know. So he has a Gmail filter that takes all the replies to that email, categorizes them. And then when he needs to write a blog post, he just clicks over to that, and all these people are like, man, I don't know how to fire clients. I don't know how to find more leads. I don't, you know, and just all these people talking about their biggest frustration. And he has material to write his next 100 blog posts just off of that. And so powerful. And then when it's time to write a sales page, he can go in there and actually use their language, how people describe their own problems, and work that into his sales page. And when you do that, it tends to work, convert a lot more highly. So anyway, lots of good stuff that Brendan does.
Awesome. So a couple questions here that were, I think I skipped, but I want to come back to them. Zach Bob asked, can ConvertKit guarantee inbox delivery and not into the promotion tab or promotion folder of Gmail?
Yeah, so that depends a huge amount on the behavior of the individual person. I would say right now about 75% or 80% of our emails to Gmail go straight to the inbox. And if you have trouble, you know, you can just write into ConvertKit support. We have a guy on our team, his name's Sam. His entire job is email deliverability. He's very, very good at that. So it's not something that we can do across the board, but we can work with your individual account and make sure that happens. But it's, the biggest thing is if you ask your subscribers to move you over, that's a huge signal to Gmail to like, oh, this doesn't belong in. You know, if you get 25 or 50 people to move you from promotions to inbox, it's a huge difference.
Oh, interesting. So if I actually ask my audience to do that and they do it, it'll be a signal to Gmail to stop for other people as well to stop putting in my promotions
tab? Absolutely.
Interesting. Cool. We have another question from also from Zach. How many different pricing models did ConvertKit go through to where it is today?
Yeah, so originally, let's see, we had three plans. I think it started at $49 a month. It was like $49, $129, $249, something like that. And, you know, that was differentiated on like how many opt-in forms you could have, how many and how many subscribers you could have. And then I get I got a ton of feedback. People are like, dude, just increment your pricing plans on a single thing. This is too complicated to figure out. Like, but what if I'm gonna want one more opt-in form? And anyway, so then we simplified it, so it was, you know, I think we had six pricing plans of starting at $29 a month and then going up from there in a few different chunks. And then, I don't know, maybe March or April this year, we built the page that we have now where it's just a slider and you drag it, and I don't even know how many pricing plans there are. There's a lot. Because it goes from $29 a month to our days us a little over $2,000 a month.
How did you decide the pricing there, though? Did you look at what AWeber and MailChimp and everybody else is doing and then say, this is, like, how'd you go? I'm curious how you went about structuring the pricing as well.
Yeah, it was mostly comparison to other services and to see how it works. You know, we wanted to remove all those objections of why people would switch or wouldn't switch, you know. And so we tried to keep our pricing roughly in line with MailChimp and AWeber. Depending, like, their price tiers fall at different places. You know, if you had like 22,000 subscribers, you might be, MailChimp might be more expensive or less expensive than ConvertKit, but they're roughly in line. Because that makes an easy sales pitch for us, because we just say, hey, you get a lot more power than MailChimp, and it's the same price. And there's no $2,000 setup fee or anything like that, like with Infusionsoft.
Yep.
So we've tweaked it a little bit since then. But for the most part, you know, the other ones, if you want cheap email sending, there's a company called Mad Mimi. And so we get people coming over from them, and they're like, oh, but Mad charges me $50 a month. And I'm like, yeah, but Mad Mimi is a crap product. So I'm not gonna compare to them, you know? If it tells you anything, they got purchased by GoDaddy, and
there you go.
Yeah.
It says it all, doesn't it?
It does.
So I got a question. Infusionsoft versus AWeber versus ConvertKit, deliverability percentage. Do you have any stats like that? Anything to show like where you guys stand versus the others?
Yeah, so deliverability is something that's very hard to get absolute stats on. It's going to be different for everybody. And you like Gmail doesn't report back, hey, I put you in spam versus I didn't. All they do is they send back a message that says accepted. And same with Hotmail and every other provider. So long as the email didn't bounce, they just tell you accepted. And so you can't, like, even the email service providers like us can't pull hard stats on what shows up where. So we did two things. One, we listened to, you know, complaints or issues from customers and then address that directly. Because then once we find a problem or a customer says, hey, I sent this email to that person and it went to spam, then we can go fix that. The other thing is we have a bunch of our own accounts set up at Gmail and Hotmail and AOL and, you know, all these email providers that shouldn't exist anymore but still do. And, you know, and then we just send out mass emails and see where they fall. And so that's where we get our stats on, you know, roughly where we're falling in inbox versus promotion to Gmail, all that kind of thing. So I can tell you what we found, what people find when they switch to us is that we are currently beating every other provider, at least every other major provider, MailChimp, AWeber, and Infusionsoft on deliverability. And the reason for that is we are super aggressive at who we ban. And so, like we had, if any of you are familiar with like Warrior Forum or like these hardcore affiliate type people, somehow we got really popular this week in a Facebook group of like that crowd of people. And like one guy, you know, he signed up for an account and our automated spam stuff was like, this doesn't look good. Like, you know, so his account got put on hold, viewed it. And we told him like, dude, sorry, this, because it wasn't like true spam, but it was falling in that direction where I didn't feel good about, you know, my company name being on the, or being associated with the stuff that he was sending out. And he was like, he got really upset and he was like, hey, but I sent you, you know, I referred three of my friends to you this week, and I was like, oh, that's where all those spammers came from. You know, you're the guy. And so, you know, whenever we see people where they're just not sending great quality email, we dig into it. And if they're not, if it's not a good fit, we just ask them, hey, move back to MailChimp. Right? We are super, super productive. That. And the other thing, like the kinds of email that we're sending, well, if any of you have used MailChimp and you send out an email and it'll tell you like how your open rate compares to the industry average, and it'll say like, you know, say you got 35%, and it'll be like, wow, you're doing amazing because the industry average for your industry is like 3.1%, and which is true for the industry, but you got to realize all the big providers are sending that email that's getting opened by 3.1%, so it's getting terrible engagement, and your email that's getting great because your people love you is right in the middle with that. So your reputation is the same as theirs. Whereas we just send email of bloggers, and so people are subscribing to a blog, you know, they want to be a part of it. So if we see an open rate under 15%, we take that seriously and start to investigate it and find out, like, okay, what's wrong with this list? Whereas most other providers would be like, 5%, you're fine. So we send much higher quality email, which gets us better deliverability.
Wow. When you find somebody, I'm super curious about this now, you see somebody who's getting less than 5% open rates, how do you engage them on that topic? Do you say, hey, here's how to send an email, or what do you do? Or do you actually look into like is it potentially spam like worthy or what? Like what's the process?
Yeah, so we have automated systems that actually will post. So we use Slack for all of our team communication. We have a channel in Slack. Let's see. Let me switch over to it. What is it called? Let's see. I'll tell you what. It's called Spammer Fun Times. I don't know why one of my developers named it that, but so whenever somebody gets flagged, it goes into that. You know, it says, "Hey, take a look at this account." Somebody looks at it, and then you know it could be a low open rate because someone was sending it to an older list. And so we might email them and say, hey, why was this a low open rate? But then we also like read the content of their broadcasts and say like, oh, this isn't cool, you know. And then we just make a judgment call then.
Gotcha.
And then we just send them an email and say, hey, we've blacklisted your account, you know. And then we give them a chance to come back and say, like, well, no, this is what's going on. Usually we just ask them, hey, what's the blog associated with your account? Because it turns out spammers don't usually write a lot of high-quality content. They tend to, you know, scrape their lists or something like that. So if someone comes back and says, like, oh, here's the blog, and we look at it, and it's like, oh, it has plenty of traffic and it has plenty of great content, then they're probably not a spammer. You know, there might be something temporary going on there.
Interesting. I find that very fascinating. We had a couple. Sorry, that was a selfish question. I was just curious about how that works. Like, how do you investigate something like that? Okay, we got some good stuff. Michelle asks, are autoresponders part of the inclusive price? Yes, they are. Unlimited, right?
Yeah, everything is included. You know, we want people paying $29 a month to have the exact same access to features and automation functionality and everything that people paying $1,000 a month get. So it only increments on how many subscribers you have.
Awesome. And then another question from Zach Bob was, do you track interactions after your subscribers open an email, if they purchase, et cetera?
So what we do now is, you know, we track clicks and everything like that. And then off of automations, you could tag people based on a bunch of different things. And so what we usually do is integrate with whoever your e-commerce provider is. I think we have integrations with about 10 or 15 right now. So all the major ones, Sendowl, DPD, Gumroad, Shopify, WooCommerce, man, there's so many, Samcart. And so then when someone purchases in that system tells them, you know, this email address purchased, and then they get tagged inside of ConvertKit. And so then from there, you can exclude them from a sequence, add them to another sequence, et cetera. So that's the main thing. Other stuff that you can do is, like, when someone clicks a link, you would automatically subscribe them to an email course or remove a tag or a bunch of other things like that.
And then how about PayPal for integration?
We don't have a direct integration with PayPal. We usually like people to use Gumroad or Sendowl or DPD or one of these other tools. And it has a lot more functionality than just, you know, a straight up PayPal buy button. But if you're dead set on using PayPal by itself, you can do that through Zapier.
Yep.
Same with, like, if we don't integrate with your provider, but they use Stripe, for example, then you can integrate Stripe to Zapier to ConvertKit, and that works.
That's what I've done, because I'm waiting on my ConvertKit integration, New Rainmaker ConvertKit integration.
You might be waiting a while.
Really? Oh man, that's a bummer. Everybody was like all excited about it.
Okay, so that integration has been written for 3 months.
Yeah.
Like the code has been written and it has been on their staging and test servers. And for whatever reason, they just aren't rolling it out.
Well, they had big DNS issues, which is a total different side story. My site's been down like 50% of the time, like the last 2 weeks. It's been horrible.
Oh, man.
But whatever. I've integrated. I use Zapier for their purchase forms to connect Stripe. So, yeah, guys, if you don't know how to use Zapier, I can create another tutorial video just show you how to set up Zapier with anything. It makes life very easy with any of these type of specific, you know, questions you have for, like, types of integration. But moving on from that, Mike Marino was asking, can you describe landing pages and the difference between ConvertKit and landing page and lead pages?
Oh yeah. So lead pages does tons of things. It's really robust, has a lot of functionality, you know, and they have, I don't know, hundreds of landing page templates. And you could build like lead capture pages and then also like full on sales pages and all that. ConvertKit, where it overlaps with lead pages, is we have similar functionality to the lead boxes, where it makes it really easy to give away, you know, an opt-in incentive or something like that, or do content upgrades, any of that kind of thing. You know, so you click a link, a modal comes up, and you can download right in there. If you want to see that, if you go to Pat Flynn's site, scroll down to his footer, and you'll see a subscribe button. It's that functionality. The other place is we have 4 simple lead capture landing page templates. And so what we use those for a lot would be like a webinar registration page, or you know, you need a coming soon page for your book, or you're going to be a podcast and you want to tell them, you know, hey, go to nathanberry.com/name of this podcast to get your free gift or whatever. Those sort of pages where you need to create them really quickly. And you don't need a ton of complicated things. And so they're fairly limited, but they're cleanly designed, easy to put together. And the great thing is you don't have to like set it up and then go integrate it with your email provider because it's all right there. But if you're looking for like really robust landing pages, tons of templates, all of that, then you'd want to use Lead Pages and ConvertKit together.
Yeah, I have both, so it works. But Mike said, yeah, for those of us just starting out, this seems to be a great option. Yeah, I'd say so.
I'll just say we do tons of stuff with landing pages, and we do it all inside of ConvertKit. We just use the 4 ConvertKit templates for all of our webinar registration forms and everything.
Really? That's cool. I got to look into that. I'm still using Lead Pages for that.
Hey, Tom, I have a question. Nathan, you've been talking about how you're making a lot of these determinations in your business, and it sounds like you have a very strong moral compass of how you want your business and how you want things to be, and you're drawing those lines and you're building a business. Companies out there, you know, it's about the money. It's about getting the sales. But it sounds like you are making a very conscious decision. One of the things we talk about here at High Speed Elite is building a business, making money, doing things that matter. Everyone here, you know, we all served for a higher purpose, you know, and how are you staying true to that in your business when every day you're tempted to compromise?
Yeah, so it comes back to really just my fascination with this whole online world that, you know, that what we do is even possible, you know, that you can get thousands of people to, you know, open your email and listen to everything you say, and that you have the ability to teach these people in a way that wasn't possible before. So I'm still fascinated that, like, it's even possible to do any of this. And so I just, like, actually my wife at one point was like, man, you talk about this a lot. And I was like, yeah. Did you know that you could make 6 figures a year like writing stuff on the internet? She's like, yes, I know that. You've told me lots of times. And so I just want to see more and more people have this opportunity. And, you know, my thing has always been teaching. And so I guess just teaching more people and I guess getting this message out to more people is my main thing. And so that's one, you know, another reason, going back to the pricing, that I really like our pricing is because it's directly aligned with our customer success. And so if we put out a lot of great training content that helps you go from 1,000 subscribers to 5,000 subscribers, like we don't have to charge for that training content because if you put it into place, you know, you're getting more value out of ConvertKit and you're paying more for it. But there's definitely things where, you know, you try to make a decision of what's like a core value and what's not. So one thing that's come up recently is a bunch of very smart people have said, like, hey, you should not have your numbers public on the internet and people shouldn't be able to go browse through your Barometrics dashboard and see your churn and lifetime of the numbers. And so I've been thinking about that and asked another friend for his opinion. He was just saying, like, well, is transparency a core value of what's key to you? Or, you know, was it just like an interesting marketing technique to get a little bit of attention? And so I had to think about that again, and I was like, no, it's a core value, because when it comes to teaching, if you don't include numbers, it's really hard to give context. You know, so say we're talking about a book launch or a product launch, and I say, tell them, how'd the launch go? And he goes, oh, it did well. I'm like, what does that mean? You know, without any numbers, without any context, well, was a $500 launch or a $50,000 launch, you know, you just have no idea. And so you know, that was a recent case where even though a bunch of smart people said, hey, it is not wise of you, and there's some serious downsides to putting all your numbers public, I had to decide, no. The education and sharing the story and all of that and being transparent about the numbers is a core value of ours. And so even if it costs us revenue, helps our competitors or things like that, we're gonna stick with it. Oh, Tom, you're muted.
Good stuff. So do you have any other core values that you established, like as you started to hire people?
Not so far. This is something I've been thinking about a lot in the last week because I just had all of those like transparency conversations, you know, very recently. Other core values. I mean, it really comes down to we exist to make our customers more successful, and we're going to be transparent about the entire process. And so we shared our customer, all our revenue numbers and all of that when we made, $3,000 a month, and we'll continue to do it up until, we make $3 million a month and well beyond that.
That's awesome. Dave asked, what is ConvertKit looking to improve in the future? Ooh, that's a good question.
So as far as the product, we're improving all of our segmenting, how you can group and segment your subscribers, the kind of stuff you can filter off of. Adding a bunch of custom fields so that if you wanted to, say you have a language learning blog or something like that, you want to track what language each of your subscribers is trying to learn, so you put Spanish and French and whatnot. Those are the next big things on the roadmap. We're adding some A/B testing for, subject lines, stuff like that. Let's see. In a broader sense of what we're trying to improve, is we're just trying to elevate the game as far as email marketing in general, how everyone does it. It's still somewhat of a spammy industry. People get away with using or think they have to use a lot of fairly questionable tactics in order to build a business or maximize their revenue or things like that. And so our goal, through our content and the type of customers we feature, type of customers we accept, our goal is to just have this community, we call it the ConvertKit family, of a bunch of people who were really, really proud of the work that they're doing, how the education that they're doing for their audience, how they're improving the web, and I guess just elevate the entire blogging and email marketing space so that people look at it as this really positive thing that's having this huge impact.
It's awesome. Very cool. So we got a question. Is a ConvertKit conference in the future? Infusionsoft does Icon. This is from Dave Berlin. If so, I know Zach Baugh would argue to crowdfund it like Podcast Movement.
Ooh, interesting. A ConvertKit conference is in the future. We're going to start with a very small one of just 50 people in Portland, Oregon. We actually just put together the plan for this most of this morning, actually. And then the idea after that would be probably to take it on the road as a series of small conferences, like half conference, half workshop, just like a one-day thing. The idea, list of cities, it's just like some of the biggest blogging cities in the U.S., which would be, so start with Portland because we have a bunch of employees there. But then after that, like San Diego, Austin, New York, and Nashville are some of the biggest, and we just want to meet customers in person, give them, faces to the customer success team, just so that they get to know us, we get to know them, and we can teach cool things. Dave, living in Franklin. Franklin's a good town. I know a lot of people in Franklin, like way more than you would expect. I think I know like 20 people in Franklin. As far as like bloggers per capita, I think Franklin is really, really high up there.
It's almost like the online marketing capital, for Pete's sake.
Yeah, within a certain circle. But yeah, people in Franklin, or if we even, you know, Michael Hyatt, Jeff Goins,
Grant Baldwin,
Donald Miller,
Aaron Walker, Dave Ramsey, Brian Dr. Harris. Act. Yeah, yeah, Brian Harris.
Yeah, Brian's in Nashville, not yeah. Franklin specifically, but
yeah
I know because I've stayed at his house.
Oh, nice.
Brian's a good guy.
That's cool.
And not just because he sent an email today that sent us 25 customers. So
that's awesome. Cool. So I think let's see some other questions coming in here. Nathan, what are the links to resources you provide to help build online businesses for bloggers and others?
Yeah, so we're not doing as much as I would like right now. The main things we have is I wrote the book Authority, and that's like my start to finish guide. We do a workshop every Thursday that Matt Regland, who is our Nashville employee, he teaches, and that's on marketing automation. And then we have more and more stuff coming out on the blog, like just in the last week or two, or last couple weeks, Val, who's a recent addition to our team, a lot of great articles on, you know, where to put your opt-in forms and all of that kind of thing. But the biggest stuff is still on my blog. So if you go to nathanberry.com, there's some posts on like marketing automation for professional bloggers. I actually haven't looked at my blog in a little while. You go there and look. It's been heavily neglected. You know, if you go to nathanberry.com and then click on marketing in the top, you know, there's a bunch of stuff that I've written there. So yeah.
Yep, I recommend Authority too. If you guys are getting started, awesome book, awesome collection of resources, really, really good stuff in terms of like teaching and selling. It's awesome. Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Davey just mentioned in the chat about getting hooked on Brian Harris. Definitely check out his stuff. If you like for list building specifically, he's got some really, really great stuff.
Awesome. So I know we're coming up to the hour. I want to field maybe like one or two more questions, and then I think that'll be it. So we got a great one from Dave Chesson. If you were to go back in time and start ConvertKit all over again, what would you do differently?
I mean, I would have liked to get to the point a year ago where I was focusing on ConvertKit full time. Without the 2 years that preceded that, it would have been nice, you know, to have the overnight success start sooner than two and a half years in. What would I do differently? I guess I'd focus on a much sooner, a much earlier. I hit direct sales right from the beginning, and I wouldn't, you know, have all those conversations, all those partnership arrangements, all that kind of thing, without spending, you know, 2 years before that. Okay, here's the story. So I was at a conference in Europe, and I was talking to somebody. This was right about the time. This was October. Had this conversation. It was me, my good friend Ryan Delk, who if you ever want to follow someone for growth, business development type stuff, I think he's the smartest person I know. Like, yeah, no offense to any of you here in this room, but Ryan Delk is the smartest person I know. So he was the head of growth at Gumroad. He's managed to connect to everybody. He built that whole company. So he and I are standing there talking, and we're talking to someone else who, you know, they were asking a few questions about Convert, kind of see if it was a good fit or whatever. And they turn, you know, after the conversation's over, they walk away. And I pull out my phone and I add a little note in a Trello board where I was tracking everything to follow up with that person. And Ryan just looks at me and said, I have been trying to get you to do that for 2 years. And really all he was trying to get me to do was document that this random person at a conference was interested in ConvertKit. And so to follow up with them in a couple weeks, see if they'd signed up or if they needed any help or whatever. And it's such a simple lesson of like, hey, track your sales process, reach out to people directly, follow up. And I just wasn't doing it. So yeah, if I were to go back in time, I would do that from day one, and I would actually learn sales, and I would track the process, and I would follow up with people. Like, there's so much money that everybody leaves on the table just by not following up, and it's stupid.
Can you dig into that a little bit in terms of – you talked about how you do the list building and how you kind of consolidate that initial outreach list. When you actually conduct the outreach now, how do you do that? What's been most effective for you guys?
Yeah. So I make the list of what people are using. And then, you know, we get direct email addresses for everybody. And then just send an email and we say, hey, Tom, saw that you're using MailChimp, and I was wondering if there's anything that's frustrating you about it. And then the next sentence or the next paragraph is just like, the reason I ask is I've built this tool called ConvertKit. It's email marketing for professional bloggers. It's used by, and then I try to name three people that maybe they've heard of. So it won't necessarily be our biggest customers, but it'll be our most relevant customers. And then, you know, love to know if anything's frustrating you. Talk to you soon. And then, you know, if they don't respond to that, I have a follow-up email that, like, shares a time where I ConvertKit and links to this quick 5-minute demo. But usually people write back and they either say, like, not interested, which probably only 10% of people respond to something like that. But most of the time, they're like, actually, this is what frustrates me, you know? And they're like, it sucks that, and they'll go on this list, and they're like, if it's AWeber, they're like, oh, I have to pay for unsubscribes. I have to pay, I can't, you know, do these automation things. Or like MailChimp, they'll get into like, oh, this is complicated. This is, you know, tracking people across multiple lists, giving away content upgrades, you know, and they'll give you the list. And then I just come back and say, actually, here's how ConvertKit handles X, Y, and Z. And it makes for a really natural sales conversation. And then sometimes, you know, it gets into pricing and all of that. Oh, actually, this is a huge thing that I totally forgot about. About a year ago, when I realized we needed ConvertKit customers, you know, we just desperately needed customers, we started doing what we called concierge migrations. So if you switch to ConvertKit, we would migrate all of your forms, courses. Sorry, my kids are up above me in the living room playing around now. One of them just jumped off the couch. So anyway, so we'll migrate everything for you, move your autoresponders, move your subscribers, everything entirely for free. And we did that for everyone who's on a $99 a month plan or higher. And that was a huge thing. And the reason is people would get all the way through and they'd say, this sounds great, but I do not want to move email lists. That's got to be a total pain. And no matter how much we would say, not that bad. Like, we have these help documentation, you know, blah, blah, blah. Like, nobody would believe that. And so what we finally said, because it's this big unknown, right? You're like, yeah, but think of all the things that could go wrong. And so then what we said is, look, it's not that hard, and we'll prove it to you. We'll do it for you for free. And so that just removed, you know, they've gotten all the way to that point, and they have this one massive objection left. And we take that objection away, and they go, okay, well, I guess let's do it.
That's awesome.
And so that's been huge, you know, just doing work that other people aren't willing to do. And we got made fun of a lot by other software founders because they're like, that doesn't scale. Like, you know, how are you spending 15 hours of time migrating one person over who has this complicated setup? And, you know, I just said, like, well, we're going to trust that the math is going to work out eventually in the long run because they'll stick with us for years and they'll refer people and all of that. And so that's been one of the most profitable decisions we've ever made, even though in theory. So now we have two people on our team where that's the majority of what they do is just switch over accounts.
Yeah, that was the thing that sold it for me. As soon as I was like, okay, I'm in. Let's do this. That was gold. On that note, actually, real quick, we have another good question, but I want to ask another selfish one. What is your lifetime value of a customer now? Do you have that calculated? Do you have like an idea of like what it's, how much money you should put into time or money to put into to acquire a customer?
Yeah, so officially it's $551 is our lifetime value of a customer. That's not a number that I make decisions off of because it's so radically different depending on what plan you're on, how many subscribers you have. Like we have, you know, our biggest customer pays us, oh man, way more than that. They pay us $25,000 a year, right? And we have all these other customers in the middle who pay us, you know, $5,000 a year, $8,000 a year. And those people tend to stick around for a long time. Whereas, you know, a lot of the $29 a month customers, they're just trying it out. They don't realize that, hey, an online business is actually a lot of work, and they have to, like, write and produce content, and, like, this is hard. It takes real work. You can't just, you know, make a bunch of money overnight. And so, you know, those people will tend to sign up, stick around for a couple months, and then cancel. And so basically that lifetime value number is heavily skewed, and we need to break it down based on what level we're looking for. But our lifetime value on large accounts is insanely high, like well over $10,000.
That's awesome. And then Dave asked, does ConvertKit have A/B split testing?
No, so we do not right now, which actually, if you have fewer than 10,000 subscribers, I think you are doing yourself a disservice by doing split testing, because you don't have statistical significance on what you're doing. And so you actually, in other tools or whatever, even on your website, you know, using Optimizely or Visual Website Optimizer, one of these, I encourage you, if you don't have very much traffic, to run an AA test. And that's where you take something and then you make no changes and you test that against itself. And what you'll find is that one of these identical versions will perform radically better than the other. And so you'll be like, wow, I should implement this version, you know, and then I'll get a 6% lift in conversions or whatever. But there's no difference between that. And so if you don't have statistical significance, these A/B testing tools will often, they're not purposefully lying to you, and there's no flaw in it. It's just that they're being misunderstood. And so you will, you know, you'll be testing this button color against that button color. One of them will give a 5, 10% lift, and you'll go, oh, red is better. Okay, we're going with red. And you keep doing that, and what you'll find is that most of the time that those theoretical increases won't actually ever show up. Because you'll run this math like, okay, if I increase this conversion rate by this amount and then that one by this amount, they should total up to $2,000 in new revenue each month. And it just won't materialize. So what I would say is don't do any A/B testing in emails unless you have at least 10,000 subscribers. And the reason is because when you're doing A/B testing, usually, so you have 10,000, you're testing a subject line, you're going to break it off. And what is a 10, 10, 80. So you have two subject lines. One goes out to 10%. The other goes out to another 10%. And then, you know, you wait a few hours, see which one performs better, and send the 80%, you know, the remaining 80%, the winning subject line. Well, if you only have 1,000 subscribers, you just sent, you know, you're making a decision based on what 100 people have done and another 100 people have done. And so the difference between that is going to be so tiny, it could be skewed by few people happening to check their email at a different time than they normally do. And so making business decisions or content decisions based on that, I think, is foolish. That said, there are lots of people who should be doing A/B testing, and that's why we're building the feature, but we don't have it yet.
Awesome. Great stuff. And then Dave Berlin asked, any book you're reading right now that's a game changer for you?
Let's see. I just read the Elon Musk biography.
That was good.
That was really good. And I'm just wrapping up The Hard Things by Ben Horowitz. There's a lot of stuff that I can't relate to because, like, he's like, well, when you have 400 employees and you have to lay off, you know, 100 of them, here's why that sucks. I'm like, or he's like, when, you know, when you're a publicly traded company and your stock crashes, like, here's how you, and I'm like, I can't relate to that. But it's been a really good book, lots of good stories. And the other book that I'm about to start, and so I have no recommendations on it, but it's here on my desk, is Scaling Up. In theory, it's about growing your team from, like, you know, 5 employees to 50, which is kind of where we're at right now, right in the middle of doing that.
It's awesome. Very cool. Guys, do you have any other questions? I think we've gone through, I think I've asked every question that's come in the chat box. If I haven't, speak now. Cool. All right, Nathan. Well, I think that's it. That's all that's coming in, which is, I mean, it was great. I really appreciate your time. I know everybody here does. And I know we've already broken the hour time limit. So, Antonio, if you have any final words.
No, I just wanted to thank Nathan. Really appreciate you coming on. I know your time's valuable. You've got a family. And, look forward to hearing about these conferences. That's we were just talking before you came on about the importance of going to good conferences. So yeah. It sounds like you're gonna create something cool.
Yeah, we're definitely gonna try. So if you guys have any things of something like, if you've gone to a conference and said, hey, this was particularly, or this is what made this conference stand out far and above other conferences, definitely email me, because I want to make it as good of a conference as possible. And even though it's going to be really small, actually it being really small is what might make it really good. Who knows?
Yeah. Those are the best.
So yeah. Cool. And if I can help with anything, any email marketing questions or ConvertKit questions or any of that, my email address is just nathan@convertkit.com.
Cool. And then Dave asked us a good question. Anything we can do for you?
You can tell people about ConvertKit. You hear about those random people. Someone's like, oh man, Infusionsoft something or other, and they're just like getting frustrated and just like a little whisper in their ear and just say like, hey, have you seen this? I heard Pat Flynn's article and be like, oh, I heard that Pat Flynn switched off of Infusionsoft or whatever. What we find is that it's really hard to reach someone at the time when they're really frustrated. They're like, we'll often reach out to someone, they're like, oh man, I just switched like 2 months ago, and they don't want to switch again, and so, yeah, if you hear people, they're thinking about switching, send them my way.
Awesome. Will do. Cool, Nathan. Well, thanks so much, man. It was a pleasure.
Right. Yeah. Thanks, guys. See ya.
Cool. Antonio, so any other admin stuff?
Let me see. Double check. Now it sounds like you're having some great calls. I've got some great calls set up for Wednesday, and that's about it.
Cool, guys. So, yeah, I'm going to put my Calendly in here. If you don't have one with me this week, grab it and see if you can find a time. Otherwise, just email me, and I'll see if I can put you in, plug you in. And same with next week. The week after, though, or it's next week, Christmas week.
Yeah, we've got Christmas on Friday, man.
Okay. So we'll try to do early next week if you guys want to have a call.
Yeah, if you don't have kids, I guess you can forget that. But I've got every day I'm reminded.
That's cool. Nice.
Yeah.
Cool.
Nick, do you guys have snow up there yet?
Yeah, man, it's snowing like crazy right now. Actually, the mountains wasn't very snowy at all, but now we're getting hit. It's crazy. It's gonna snow for the next couple of days. So.
Yeah. And what about?
We got smoked with snow today. Just crazy. Oh yeah, I was looking at my website. We're like, I wish I could post and somebody would follow.
Yeah.
But I'm going to chuck in a link here for you guys to take a look. Everybody's welcome. It's still in the transition to the server stage, so you can't register yet. It's not all there yet, but go take a look and shoot me some feedback on Facebook or email. And let me know what you guys think. Blank faces. Everybody's gone at the same time.
Where did you build this? How did you build this landing page?
I got a developer to do it. I didn't do any of it because I couldn't figure that out. And I got a graphic designer to draw the little dude because I couldn't do that either.
Where'd you find your developer and graphic designer?
The developer I Googled. I talked to just a whole bunch. I sent out a massive emails and got a bunch of phone calls. I picked the one that made me comfortable and came in at about the right price. For the graphic designer, though, I went to 99 Designs, and it was totally worth it. We had maybe 100 different little guys to look at when it started, and then we narrowed it down to 5, and by the end, we had exactly what we wanted, and we just got the same guy to do multiples.
Okay.
And like,
should I be able to click on this?
The guys like JLB's got an affiliate link. You save $100. It's easy.
Have you heard of Fiverr?
I have. I've looked at it just recently. I might try them out. I don't know if anyone else has yet.
I had some podcast art designed once from 99 Designs, and it was about as equivalent as what I got on Fiverr. So I mean, I wasn't overall impressed with it.
Yeah, I got.
So I'm just saying it might be cheaper to go Fiverr route.
Yeah, maybe. Like about 99 Designs, I got a graphic designer now, and he did the first two logos. The competition was for two, and now I got a guy. I know exactly where I'm going for all of the headers. When I want to switch it up, I want to put little Santa hats on guys. I know exactly where I'm going, so it's kind of nice in that regard. I don't know if you can do that with Fiverr or not.
I think you can. I mean, even with the ones you got now, you could probably send them to an artist on Fiverr too. I don't know how much the guy's charging you, but I've sent stuff to artists on Fiverr before and had it add things to it.
I think the cool thing about Fiverr, Nick, is that you can find someone to build a relationship with, and you don't have to stick within the platform. So you just find someone that you can work with, and then you work with them outside, and you can then go into larger projects. But it's just about, I think, getting that relationship quick.
Well, and I did that actually off 99 Designs. I did the same thing. We did the competition or the 99 Designs process, and then immediately, as soon as I picked, we're outside of the system, and it's completely separate. So Fiverr is new to me, but I don't know. Anybody that's developing a website, you should be talking to Zach about him. He seems to know tons of stuff.
All right, cool. Well, hey, guys. Tom, did we want to hit anything more this evening? 7:16. I think next week we'll have a regular session. It'll be the last one before Christmas, and then I think we have one more before the year's out, and then we go to one meeting a week, or I'm sorry, one meeting a month, and then we'll get to one guest poster a month. So we'll have two meetings a month. But it won't be the weekly. It'll be every other week, with 1 week being a focused hot seats and focused on people, and then we'll have the additional speakers. So Jave Chesson, he asked for Nathan. Boom, we got Nathan. So you guys see somebody, and probably look around. I think the more specific you get, the more down to earth, the more closer to where you're at, but maybe a couple years ahead, it's going to be, pretty, we'll see what we can do to bring them in or to bring in someone. You could just say, hey, I'm having issues with going out there and doing cold sales. I need to go, or I better networking. I want to be able to meet more people. I've signed up for three conferences, and I want to make sure I get a strong return on investment from those conferences. Am I going to come away with 100 solid contacts from these three conferences? And then we can bring on, John Corcoran, someone like that, that is his deal, because, and Tom's smiling because he's a good friend of both of ours,
Yeah.
Oh,
go ahead.
Now I've got, I can talk a little bit. I'll have Ryan Masters in the office next week. He's coming and hanging out with me. He's the godfather to my youngest daughter, Katya. He's a paid traffic expert. So this guy
is he coming on?
I'll just bring him on this thing. I'll just bring him over here so we can talk a little bit about paid traffic. If you guys want to know about how to use Facebook ads, YouTube ads, Google AdWords, he's taking companies, from spending, a $500 or even a $50 budget to all of a sudden ratcheting it up to, in some cases, he's had people spend with him $100,000 plus a month in Google AdWords, and he makes them, three times, five times their money. But usually he's got a very strong offer. Not right now with YouTube paid ads. So
what about David Sight-Garland?
We could probably reach out. He'd be someone I'd have to check. I don't know him as well. It's been a few years, but I'm sure that we could get David probably maybe in February or March. I'll have to reach out. I know he just had a daughter, so that's changed his schedule. Mike, anyone you particularly want to get out?
I think you're muted.
You there?
I don't think it would be practical to get any of the people that I'm thinking of. At least the one guy that I've always wanted to meet was Mark Cuban. So.
Mark Cuban, yeah, he's going to be a little
I don't know if he...
I don't think he's going to be very useful.
Yeah.
Yeah, but if you want to talk to, you know, it's like one guy, could probably reach, have you ever heard of Tom Venuto?
Sounds familiar. What does he do?
He wrote Burn the Fat, Feed the Muscle, one of the most popular, he's made millions of dollars on ClickBank. He was, I haven't talked to him for a couple of years. We were in a mastermind for about a year together. He's a good friend. It's funny, like somebody gets on your list and they start interacting. You don't know who they are, and it turns out, you know, he's probably in his early 50s, but he was one of the early Internet 1.0 guys that just sold an ebook for $47, $97, and just sold, you know, 100,000 of them. So, kind of added up.
Well, I'll look around and see if I can't find someone that I really want to emulate. Like, and I'll make sure that it's someone that, you know, not super high level, but high enough to where it would be of value to everyone and not just me.
Yeah, well, you can be a little bit selfish. We'll try to bring in, you know, I know not everyone was into email marketing, but I think just seeing a guy, what I really loved this call tonight is how he was very clear who he didn't want on his list and how he's just like, I'm cutting you off. I mean, it wasn't, it's just simply, it's going to affect the quality, and to me, I think I look at what he's creating. The reason he's going to have a high deliverability rate is he just doesn't allow people who would naturally bring it down. He just keeps the average high, and he cuts off those people which many companies would say, nah, we need to let them in because they're paying their bills, when he's like, it's not worth the money.
Mm-hmm.
Nick, anyone you want to see?
You know, your buddy with the passing, that is exactly the road I want to go down.
Cool.
Next week. It's perfect.
I've
got to do some research.
Yeah. So what we'll do, I guess, Tom, next week maybe we'll zip through, have some quick hot seats or just, you know, some updates. We're doing a lot of one-on-ones with you guys, so I know that, you know, we're now getting into, you know, into things a bit deeper, and then we can get to Ryan can talk specifically. And Nick, if you want to be there and you've got some, you want to send me some questions before, I'll make sure that he looks at some of your stuff and can even give some suggestions of what you're trying to do. You can really get the highest return on investment from your time.
Is there any way?
Yep.
Is there any way we can have him kind of like walk through, like setting up a pixel?
Yeah. Sounds good. I need to do
like
it for,
like
for some
screen,
of my stuff.
Like a screen capture.
I'll have him do it with some of my stuff. I'll that's a great, you know, motivator for me to have something set up so that we can actually set up my campaign as you guys watch it, because I haven't done paid campaigns for a while, so he can actually record it as he's doing it.
That'd be awesome.
Cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Anyone else? Was there any questions? Anyone else out there that needed? I'm checking in the comments. Okay. Yep. John's cool with that. Yep. Mark Devine could be good. C-Lift Academy and Invitable Mind. Yes. Lee Cockrell to run Disney. He's a veteran. JLD. Yeah, we got to get John. Yeah, we have John.
I was going to get him for this next week, but if your homeboy's in town next week, I say maybe we just wait to John the next week after that.
Yeah, we can get John anytime. Yeah.
He'll be on once a month for sure.
Yeah, he needs to get back. Yeah, so let's do that. Let's I've got dates. We can go ahead and schedule both. See if we can get John maybe on the 28th.
28th, okay.
Okay. And I'll make sure that Ryan is available on the 21st. And we've got a lot of one-on-ones. Me and you are taking those, and I know I've got Mike. I think we're going to reschedule. Did you? My assistant, she'll send you an email here in the next few hours, if not sooner. And Zach, Bob, I think we've got another time, and I'm pretty sure I'm talking with Dave Chesson. And anyone else, feel free to grab the time.
Awesome.
Gentlemen, I think we're done.
Yeah. All right, guys, take care until next week, and I'll be talking to a lot of you this week. So.
All right. See you later, guys.
Take it easy.
See you.